5 years ago, Apple introduced a new technology. They've been working on a technology for 5 years. And now they've decided to, fuck it. Also, now this is demonetized. Welcome to Recycle Bin. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to Recycle Bin, episode two, recorded live on April 28th, 2018. This particular episode is sponsored
by... episode three.
What did I say?
Dose two.
This is definitely three. This many. This episode is sponsored by VMix and Stop Ad, and of course we'll tell you about them a little bit later. I'd say that's a solid start, Brian. I know my numbers.
Yeah, it's a real solid start. Yeah,
solid.
For sure.
Dude, what's going on? I think I've had a stroke.
Not great.
It's definitely not episode great. Two, though. You are right. It's definitely episode two.
Stop saying two.
Damn it! It's episode three. What are the signs of a stroke? I need you to tell me what the signs of a stroke are.
I think it's fast. Face? Hang on. I know. I keep seeing billboards for it. Just, I think so you can recognize while you're driving the signs of a stroke in your rearview mirror of other drivers. So you can kind of hurry up and like try to save them.
Okay. By the way, Brian.
Hang on. Wait. No. Before we continue, we need to know if you have a stroke. Hang on. Okay, Google. What are the signs of a stroke?
Wow, sorry everybody else's Google.
Symptoms of stroke include trouble walking, speaking, and understanding, as well as paralysis or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
I have two of those. I have two of those.
You can't walk at all.
I can totally walk fine, but definitely do have two of those things. I can't talk and I can't understand, but I feel like that's normal. I usually can't. That doesn't change.
No, you really can't.
That's normal.
Yeah, that's why the show's edited, not live.
Yeah, this is clearly edited. Brian?
Yeah.
How are you? How's your day going?
Pretty good, man. Going to be seeing Avengers in about 2 hours and 2.5 hours, so I'm excited.
By the time this comes out to the public, you will have seen it, so you can't get spoiled. They can't spoil you.
I've already been spoiled, man. I got spoiled earlier today on Reddit, so it's whatever.
Man, fuck the internet.
I've accepted my fate. Yeah.
Here's a question for you. Did you try to like not get spoiled? Did you even try to avoid it? I feel like you did.
Well, I was going
to
say... I'm real particular about what I care about spoilers in. Like Game of Thrones, I really care. Avengers, I love the franchise. The whole Marvel Cinematic Universe, I love it all. But I don't really care about spoilers. I mean, I'm going to go watch it and enjoy it regardless. It's, you know, so it's okay.
But like you just were being innocent little burn and you weren't thinking and you got spoiled.
I was literally on Reddit looking at a thread. I was deep in comments, which is a mistake because they'll be downvoted if...
Why would you do that?
Well, I wasn't in like a Marvel-specific topic. It was just I was deep in a conversation and then one sentence did it. And I was like, well, that's okay.
Dude, I would have at least tried not to get spoiled.
No, but that's your understanding. I wasn't looking at like a Marvel topic. I was just in comments of a topic I was interested in.
I wouldn't even been on the internet.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't care that much.
So they're going on full
if it was
blackout.
Game of Thrones, if it was Game of Thrones, I would have gone full blackout. But for this, I was just like,
oh, right.
I'll be kind of careful.
So it's just you and I this week, but next week we are going to be opening the show up to guests. So we're going to start having guests on the show. I don't think we're going to...
our first guest will be Tim Cook. Not kidding.
Yeah, Tim Cook. We've invited him on. He's humbly accepted our invitation. So Tim Cook is the first guest.
In.
Wouldn't that be fucking nuts, though?
He's calling in from his money pit. There's a bunch of gold coins behind him.
Of all people, we would definitely not be the people Tim Cook says yes to.
No, he would definitely go hang out with Talos of Tech just to be affirmant. Like, just to be like, yeah, you're right, Tim, on everything. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So I think we're going to do guests every other week. Mm-hmm. I think if we did them every week, it could get a little overwhelming for us and for everybody. Agreed. So we're going to start next week, and I think our first guest is Painfully Honest Tech, Jason. I think we're going to have him on the show for the first guest. We have some people that we've talked to that are definitely going to be on. We just got to work out the schedule, and we'll figure out when they get on the show. We might eventually have somebody from the community on the show. You never know. We'll play with this, and we'll figure it out together. We'll learn together. We will grow together. That was really deep. For someone that just had a stroke, I'm proud. I'm very proud.
I'm really impressed, actually.
It would definitely
help. Our stream...
Go ahead. What about our stream?
Our stream stuttered and like went out for a second. I'm checking on everything.
Okay.
So we're good.
Yeah, people are talking about the show, so they must see it.
Yeah.
Definitely help us out. If you even, okay, let me put it this way. Even if you are not a iTunes podcast listener, if you don't listen to us on iTunes, but maybe you have an iOS device, you do have like an Apple account, go and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Give us a nice review. And of course, even if you are subscribed on iTunes, even better. So that's a platform you use to listen to. Go ahead and give us a review on iTunes. That really helps us rank. And I'm not going to stop till we are the number one tech news podcast on iTunes. So go give us a review, subscribe on iTunes, all that stuff. Say nice things. It definitely helps out. Other than that, I think we are ready to get in the show. Are you ready, Brian? I'm ready.
You know what? One last point. If you are leaving a comment specifically coming from this episode, like a call to action from this episode, try to work in the word cookie into your comment. So we know. So if you're from this one, this episode in particular or this stream, just work in the word cookie. Don't make it obvious. Don't just put cookie in the beginning. Just like,
yeah, that would be too much.
Yeah, I'd love sitting down whilst eating cookies. Or like, I bake cookies to this show. Or like, I like to put cookies on my body while I eat the show.
Okay, well, you're the worst. That's what I think.
Okay.
You're the absolute worst. So real quick, before we jump into the news, I do want to jump into our first sponsor of the day. Sponsor numero uno, that's the right number. And today's first sponsor is vMix. First of all, I want to tell you something. They didn't give me a read for this. They're just like, say whatever you want. Which is scary. To me is scary, but also to me, that's they're just like, yeah, we know it's good. Go ahead, say whatever you want. Like they're not worried about anything. And we've been using vMix for a little bit over a year now. I've used them all. I've used all the live streaming softwares. I've used XSplit, which is the worst, OBS, which is cool because it's free, and Wirecast is the big one for like most YouTube streamers other than OBS. If you want to pay for something, most people go ahead and pay for Wirecast. And they all suck comparatively. Like, it changed my life when we got vMix. Disclaimer, obviously, they've given us vMix for free, but I would still pay for it. It's one of the very few products where I'm like, I'm 110% in. Like, I totally believe in vMix. CPU usage is way lower than any other streaming platform. The features make so much sense. And there's hundreds of features, so I can't cover all of them, but I will go over like a couple of my favorites. Number one, vMix Call is the greatest thing in the history of ever. Best feature ever for live streamers, podcasters, whatever. Usually, if you have a podcast or whatever, you want a guest to call in, they call in through a Skype line. And then you have to capture the Skype window and put it in the live streaming software. Not the case. And I can't believe no one did this before vMix. So vMix, thank you. We love you for this. Life changer. They have vMix Call, where essentially I just open an input on vMix and I say, hey, this is vMix Call. It gives me a link. I send it to Brian or whoever the guest is. They just go within their browser. They paste the URL, they go to the page in the browser, and it automatically uses their webcam or the camera they're using and their microphone, and they call in directly to the software. No Skype, nothing else to deal with. It's just in the software, and I can control audio levels and all that from Brian's end, right from the front end of vMix. Also, VTS3 plugins. So there's audio processing live, like you can EQ, compress, all that stuff live in vMix. It just has, you know, compatibility with those plugins. Two of the biggest features, the best features of vMix, and I would die without them, pretty much, is what I'm saying. So definitely go try them out. They have a 60-day free trial if you want to go ahead and try vMix out right now. The link is down in the description if you're watching the video version. And, of course, if you are just listening to the audio version, it's in the show notes, wherever you're listening, whatever your favorite podcast client is. And a huge thanks to vMix for supporting the show. We love you guys. Burn. Let's jump into the news. Would you want to do?
I would want to do that. Yes.
First, I want to talk about the T-Mobile merger. So we should say we should preface now before you head down to the comment section. When you are seeing this, so we're recording this live right now, right? So there's a live YouTube audience, but when this goes up tomorrow, or if you watch sometime during the week, I know a lot of you guys like to just kind of chill, maybe listen to bits and pieces throughout the week, or listen later in the week whenever you got free time. And that's why we make the podcast. By the time you listen, it might be done. Like, the merger might be finalized. It might be a thing. We're looking at like a $26 billion with a B dollar merger. between SoftBank, the people that own Sprint and T-Mobile, the people that own Sprint and T-Mobile, the people they want to merge with. And it might be done by the time you're listening. There is a good chance. So effectively, they've agreed on a price already. That part's done. They've gotten further than they right. have before. But the government could say no. Like in 2011, I believe True. It was the FCC and the Department of Justice, I think.
Uh-huh.
No, AT&T right. yeah, tried to them. Buy T-Mobile, and AT&T was like, nah, fuck out of here. No, nope, get out. So
right.
We stopped a big merger last time, but I feel like it wouldn't be stopped this time just with the political climate we have now.
And it's a little bit different, too, I feel like, because AT&T is, I mean, in my opinion, and based on like a service level, you know, providing the service to people, is a bigger company than Sprint or T-Mobile. So
yeah, I agree.
This is, in my opinion, like AT&T and Verizon are up here, and then Sprint and T-Mobile are kind of down here. So this would just combine them and raise them kind of up a little bit yeah. closer, at least. You know what I mean?
No, so I get what you're saying. Like if AT&T yeah. bought T-Mobile, that would be like AT&T buying them to remove the competition, whereas
right.
T-Mobile
this
and
is almost
Sprint
fostering
teaming
competition.
Up, yeah, is almost like
yeah.
I feel like if they didn't do this, Sprint would have a hard time in the future. Like they would have a hard time
yeah.
surviving.
Well, I mean, from what I've read, and I think it's confirmed, John Ledger is taking over control of like the merged company.
That would
so
be smart.
What I mean, I don't know if they're renaming or just falling under the T-Mobile umbrella
T-Sprint.
Or whatever. Oh God.
I think the best thing would be to keep the T-Mobile name. Like they built a reputation up the yeah. past few years. And
I
just
people,
feel
like they know that they're more interesting than Sprint. They're making more interest like better moves in general.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
You said they're more interesting than Sprint and it made me laugh.
Oh, okay. You know, I mean, well, they're honestly just a more interesting company in general. Like Sprint is very like the joke about Sprint, and it's even in their ads, is like the service is shitty. Everybody knows it.
No, that
they
is
even
true.
Say it.
That's definitely
they
true.
Say the tagline for Sprint now is "It works for me." Just, like fuck.
That is a really terrible Stupid tagline. Shit. That's directly because people say, "Well, I hate Sprint. Yeah. Doesn't work in my area." And then it works for me. What a terrible
just
tagline.
For reference. Just for reference, the only reason I'm so heated about this, I used to work in cell phones, like selling all the carriers.
They used to shoot you, make a mini burn, and you would have to go into cell phones.
Yeah, but people used to say that actual shit to me, like, "Oh, Sprint's great, it works for me. No one else matters. I'm in
a
vacuum."
They made it a tagline.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of the merger. I get it.
Okay.
I get why they got to do it or why they think they have to do it. And I understand why this time it may go through and pass through our government.
Yeah.
That would be whatever. Because, I mean, if the only other chance is we end up with three anyway because Sprint shits its britches a year or two from now.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm just like, three mobile networks. And I know that other countries may have it worse. But specifically
right.
in the U.S., like, you know, when... I miss Singular, which was purchased by AT&T. Remember when
you
like
miss them?
What was it like? Singular, Altel, Sprint, Nextel, which Sprint bought Nextel.
Nextel was kind of an offshoot, if I remember right. They were kind of
Sprint
like a
bought Nextel.
An equivalent. Well, I think if I remember right, Nextel was kind of the equivalent of like a Boost Mobile. Now there's a term for what they are, like it's
MVNO.
Like MVNO, yeah,
yeah.
They piggyback on the network.
So yeah, when people say like, you know, Google Fi or whatever,
Fi?
Like when you mention MVNOs, that doesn't count. Like you're still piggybacking off of other carriers' networks and stuff like that.
Right.
And if this happens, we're down to three carriers. But like at this point, like I said in the show, I'm kind of whatever. Just if you're going to do it, fuck it. Who cares? It's over, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
I think that there'll still be good competition between the three because they're constantly competing with each other. I know. I want to say last year sometime, Verizon completely re-updated all their plans. And I mean, they constantly do it. And then AT&T followed suit immediately after to compete because Verizon just suddenly had a better deal. So,
well, I mean, T-Mobile triggered all
of
it. T-Mobile changed the world when they... what was the first big thing? They got rid of contracts. That was it.
It was Un-carrier.
Like big,
yeah.
major network that just went, nope, contract's gone. So every move that T-Mobile made, the other carriers were forced to follow. So if the merger happens and John Ledger is heads both of those companies or like the big merged company, I think that's for the best.
I agree. Yeah, I don't think it'll be as bad as a lot of people are like. It's not going to be like doom for the U.S. cellular market or anything. It's, I think, no. It's, if anything, it's going to help kind of keep T-Mobile afloat and help them like actually compete now. Like it was kind of no competition because the signal strength of T-Mobile, like the like in general, just can't reach Verizon levels. So
right.
Maybe the acquisition of Sprint will help. One thing I'm curious about, actually, I haven't seen this anywhere. Sprint and T-Mobile use two different styles of Sprint uses CDMA technology,
yeah,
and then T-Mobile uses GSM. So I'm curious how that's gonna, like, if they can just flip a switch and switch it over, or if like that actually matters to like the
they
tower
can figure
infrastructure.
It out. I'll leave it to the engineers.
I'm looking forward to seeing how that happens, though.
Yeah. Either way, like that's, I use AT&T's network, so it's just like. It doesn't matter to me, but I'm sure they'll figure it out. Especially, you know, they've been talking about merging since, I don't know, 2014, I think, is when they started talks. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that part's figured out. They just needed the money part figured out. What do you think the merger is for the customers? Or the benefits for the merger? More beefy network, I guess. It could definitely be more reliable if now you're dealing with both network towers.
Right.
And so service could improve in your area.
And T-Mobile and Sprint were, you know, in hopes of keeping afloat in the market, were offering some of the more attractive deals in general. So
yeah,
that's going to continue. So
I mean, either way,
like,
Sprint customers benefit because you're not just dealing with Sprint anymore. So there you go.
True. Yeah. I think there's enough.
Spectacles 2.
Oh God. Right into this one?
Yeah. I don't know what to say about it. I feel like I've said all the things. I mostly put this in because for some reason people showed up in the comment sections defending Snapchat. All of a sudden.
I can kind of see the defense, because I was reading a couple articles today in preparation, and apparently Snapchat minimized some of their loss by using a lot, like recycling the the first generation
into the second. How fucking sad.
Yeah. And they believe the CEO said, or no, maybe it wasn't CEO. I can't remember now. One of the higher ups, he said that this is going to be the vision for the next like decade of the company, is kind of the mixture of hardware and software.
Decade of the company.
So they're really pushing, like, I don't know, man. It doesn't. But it's
all in all,
it's a
gamble, it's
sure.
They're minor improvements, and
yeah,
it's $20 more expensive. So like in the first one, dude, hundreds of thousands of spectacles did not sell, and they lost $40 million. So what does? Right. Literally recycling the parts and releasing a new one. What are the hopes there? I don't understand, because you can take pictures now and it can go in a pool.
Yeah, that's really it.
Like, what the fuck? My biggest issue with like someone even said, I read a comment yesterday. It was real simple. They're like, you think you know more than Snapchat? Listen, it's just Snapchat doesn't know Snapchat right now. What I keep saying is they need to buckle down and get more engrossed in their own software. You know what I mean? It's just like that's what built them in the first place, and they literally Facebook, Instagram, whatever have literally copied them, almost done Snapchat better than Snapchat does Snapchat, and they lose customers that way. But a lot of them losing customers has been on them. Like, it's because of something they did, right? So they change the whole design. They make a redesign. Customers say they hate it. Mm-hmm. Snapchat says, well, it's going to stay. Like, of course people are going to leave.
Perfect cut, by the way.
Perfect cut? You drinking
water? You brought me in, so they took a drink. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
You want to do it again?
No, yeah. Why would anybody have any sort of faith in the company that is Snapchat when they keep reverting changes? And okay, the first spectacles they released, they sold at vending machines that would pop up randomly in the world. In the world.
What happened there? By the way, is Millie sleeping on your couch right there? Is that Millie?
Yeah, dude, she's out.
All How cute. Yeah.
But no, I ran out of air and I wanted to get the last couple words out. So it just kind of.
I kind of get what they were trying to do. Like, you know, trying to build hype by doing something different. But like the hype wasn't there. I would have laughed if they did try to do it again. If they released it the same way again.
Even the people involved with it said it was a mistake because the crowds that would show up at the machines kind of like it kind of made the actual interest in the product blurry. Like they saw so many people show up, but then the sales numbers still sucked.
Why? Was it all poor people that showed up? People that just wanted to see the machine but couldn't actually buy?
I just think when you see crowds of people, you just assume it's a big product. But in reality, you know, seeing 30 people crowded around a soda machine isn't exactly popular.
But they're doing
everything online this time around, which is better. But come on. And they still look fucking stupid. Can we be honest?
They do. They do look very bad. Yeah. I don't know. Listen, guys, give us your opinions down in the comments. Let us know if you think this is good for Snapchat. I'm in the mindset of
Yeah.
It's going to put them right back to where they were. We'll see.
What was wrong with the software? Like, what was wrong with just the app? What was wrong with just the app? Just using the app?
They were getting their dick kicked in.
Yeah.
But instead of making moves and, improving the software, they just made hardware. Anyway, that's beside the point. Let's talk about Amazon delivering shit in the trunk of your car. I'm not a fan. Okay. Not a fan at all.
Me either.
So
I find these stories make me sigh really hard.
I feel like that's been the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The last 2 weeks has
bad
been
news cycle.
Just, yeah. We are in a very slow news cycle. So Amazon Key, the whole deliver into your house thing, if that wasn't enough. I mean, people freaked out for the right reasons there, right? So the idea is you have maybe a secure smart lock and a camera somewhere in your home. Delivery driver activates the smart lock, gets into your house, and can deliver the package in your house. Mm-hmm. And the goal there is so packages don't get stolen from the outside of your home. People don't walk up to the front of the door and steal it.
Yeah.
Well, that's a little intrusive, having someone come in your home, obviously, a little bit, tiny bit.
Very true. Mm-hmm.
But is delivering to the trunk of your car better? So you could get a delivery while you're at work or something. So you just open the trunk of your car.
No, at all. Have you? They're so specific with this Amazon Key in car shit. Oh, hello, Millie.
They should just call it Amazon Key your car.
No, dude. Have you seen the specifications of what's required of you in order to actually be eligible for the service?
No, I actually got an email from Amazon today that was like, it's going to be in our area. So it was like, here's the steps. And
doesn't
I was
even
just
matter.
Like, no.
Dude, okay. So let's just narrow this down to the smallest fucking group possible, which is what they're doing. Prime membership, obviously. That's easy.
Yeah,
okay?
That's a given.
You have to have a GM, a General Motors, or a Volvo car.
Okay.
Okay. That's not bad.
Very popular specifically in our area.
True. 2015 or newer. Getting smaller.
Okay, yeah. Narrowing the window here.
With an OnStar subscription or a Volvo on-call account active. You have to have either one of those.
That's a lot of steps.
Also,
that's a lot of steps just to have stuff delivered in your trunk. Go ahead.
It has to be a first-party item sold by Amazon. Okay.
Okay.
There's size specifics already. It can't be more than $1,300.
It can't be more than trunk size. It's got to be trunk size at least.
And it can require a signature. So anybody who needs to order anything that isn't that,
you're good.
Like, are you kidding me? Like all of this? There's like 50 people in like the 100-mile radius that like covers. That's insane.
I'm not sold on this. No, I thought it was a bad idea to begin with, but like, I don't want it at all, and I definitely don't want it bad enough to meet all those requirements. Just deliver it to the door.
Yeah, and like the people who wanted to use the Amazon Key to like let them into their home, that's like, oh, well, that's kind of a cool like thing, and you just kind of be kind of a open mindset, hipster-ish person willing to try new stuff, fine. But this has like financial requirements, and you have to have like, no one's going to go buy a 2015 Volvo and get their fucking service.
Yeah.
And you also have to want this. Like, yeah, this is such a small subset of people that if there's going to be a successful test, this
That wraps up my entire feelings. Just deliver it to the front door.
Like, what the fuck? Why? Like, why
it,
even
put
do
it
this?
In front of the door like old times? And,
yeah.
And
why not expand?
Will be fine.
Why not expand Amazon Prime Now, which is that's their in, like their like 30-minute delivery service or whatever, right? Like it delivers the same day. Why not expand that? People care more. What's up with this fucking? Let me
but
into
also,
your
like,
mailbox.
People. Yeah, some people complain that their stuff gets stolen or whatever. But why does Amazon have to be the vigilante here? Why do they have to come up with things to make stealing your packages be like happen less? Just if your packages get stolen a lot, yours specifically, there must be a problem where you live. Put a camera in front of your house. Do your own investigations.
Or, I mean, there's a company in between this, which like are companies like FedEx and UPS or the USPS. Let them figure it out. Why is this Amazon's deal? Like, it's not like Nike's like, people keep stealing our shoes.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we put GPS trackers in each one.
Yeah.
Like, just well, handle your own shit.
Yeah, just...
Like,
it's,
what the fuck?
Whatever. Don't. I just don't want it in the car, or I don't want you to walk in my front door. It's. I don't want any of that stuff. Okay.
Yeah, I'm really... someone actually brought up a great point in the chat. Go ahead. You got to be upper middle class to even meet these prerequisites. Also true. Like, even with... And someone added, you have to be upper middle class in upper middle class.
Yeah, very true.
To reach
very true.
It's so specific. Like, also, who the fuck uses OnStar? Like, really? Like, why?
Yeah, it's not 2008 anymore.
Ugh.
Moving on. So let's talk about the Apple ditching touch or not touch ID. Whoops, they already did that. Apple ditching 3D touch.
Killer.
Yeah,
this is way more interesting.
They've worked on 3D touch. They introduced it 5 years ago. And now. So to clarify, what we have right now is Ming-Chin Kuo? What's really reputable leaker.
You would know better than me, yeah.
According to them, which they have a really good track record, which is why anytime they say something, people pay attention. Specifically for the 6.1 inch iPhone. That may be coming out this year, like the more budget friendly iPhone that could be $550. That's the model we're talking about. There's a chance that to be able to meet that price, the budget price, that Apple does not include 3D touch in that model. There's also a chance that they ditch it altogether, that it does not get included in future iPhones after whenever it just doesn't get included. Now. It makes sense to me because, number one, that could help them lower the price of every phone, or at least get a lower price for the display panels to put in the phones, which then leads to a smaller, lower, a tiny little lower price for consumers when they buy the iPhone or whatever. Brian, you had 3D Touch on your iPhone. I left iPhone and iOS before 3D Touch was implemented. Yeah. To me personally, I feel like it was a pretty underrated feature.
I agree. I got a fuck ton of use out of it. Like, I'm seeing some mirrored stuff in my OnePlus 5 now, my OnePlus 5T. It has some similar features, but there's a couple missing that are really good. Like, for instance, you can long press the phone button to get your, like, favorites, which was what I use it for the most. But little things are, like, super useful. Like, okay, on iOS... you can 3D touch into the keyboard and you can bring up a cursor to move through text.
Mm-hmm.
Like just really, really intuitively. Like that was fucking awesome. And having to go back to Android and like manually drag the slidey cursor with your finger is just, it's lesser. It's completely like, it's worse. So
well, I feel like 3D touch itself is a really great feature. I feel like it's underrated.
Right.
But I feel like it was almost too much, like too complex for third-party developers and stuff to use.
It was badly explained and not apparent where it could have uses. Apple did a really bad job of, like, they just tried to Apple it. Like, the phone will teach you how to use it, you know, which works a lot of the time. But with 3D Touch, it's too different. And they didn't, like, there was shit I was still finding out about 3D Touch half a year into owning my phone.
Well, I feel that's what's really great about iOS most of the time is that it is intuitive. You don't need an instruction manual. But I feel like if you're an average consumer and no one told you that 3D Touch existed, you might not ever find it.
Yeah. Like I would, this literally goes back to me selling iPhones. I would demonstrate the phone for people and like people would come in with their iPhone and be like, I don't really know how to use it or whatever. They'd be kind of maybe like middle-aged or whatever. Even like the younger people would have this problem.
Okay.
And you know, the whole live photo thing where you could 3D touch into a photo or whatever. And then it would like loop like a GIF with sound. People didn't know how to do that. So I would show them like, yeah, look at this photo you took like literally 3 weeks ago of your dog and it fucking moves. And they would like, they would shit their brain out their eyeballs. Yeah. Like it's just not explained well. Like it's just, they kind of give you a rundown, but it's just, there's so many like little intricate features that just, fall between the cracks. So
do you think it's worth it for Apple to nix it? Not, I mean, I think it's definitely worth it for the budget phone. That it's definitely worth it. It's one of those features that the phone could do without and it won't do any damage to the consumer. Uh-huh. And they could get, you know, entry level iOS experience budget phone this year.
Right.
Ditching it for the rest of everybody, for the rest of the consumers, for the rest of the iPhones, do you think it makes sense price wise? Like is it a feature that's not utilized enough to where people wouldn't really miss it, and they could cut the cost by nixing it.
I think it is, because a lot of the most used features can just be accomplished with a long press, like a press and hold, you know? Like, it's a really cool novelty, and the best thing that come from it, in all seriousness, was the better vibration motor in the newer iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is another thing that it can just, like, Android can never stand up to unless they really get their shit together. The vibration motors in the new iPhones are awesome.
Oh,
it doesn't sound like something's just rattling around. It's very like exact and it's actually really pleasant. So like that's the best thing that come from it, which I hope they keep. But the actual 3D touch features, they should dump, I think. It's sad and stupid.
They'll definitely keep the vibration motor. But like a lot of a lot of Android OEMs have sort of simulated that 3D touch feature just by a long press.
Oh yeah, and that's exactly what my phone does.
It's not good. It's not. I mean, it's not as good as 3D Touch.
No,
but is it good enough to where, hey, Apple, if you strip the phone of the 3D Touch technology and sort of keep the same feature set but with a long press, I wonder if the price cut is worth it for them?
Yeah,
I would say yes.
I think it might be. I mean, if it ends up saving like $100 or $200 off a new phone, I think that's worth it, especially on a budget phone. If they're trying to aim for $550.
Yeah.
Like, cut what you got to cut. I mean, if that phone is literally coming in at half the cost of a higher end one.
That's you know crazy. How I said I feel like Apple's going to start fine-tuning things? Yes, fine-dining and breathing. This is a really good step. I feel like it's like a step into more minimalism on Apple's part. Like, they just started throwing a bunch of stuff and like, look at all the stuff we can make the phone do. I love that it's like, they are self-aware enough to take a step back and be like, we don't need this. I don't think it looks bad for them to change their mind about this. I think it was a good try, and I don't think it's necessarily their fault all the way that it wasn't utilized by everybody all the time. I'm glad that they tried it. But like, I also think it's really cool if they're self-aware enough to be like, we could cut the cost a smidge if we just get rid of the thing that people don't use all that much.
Right. Yeah, I think it's a good idea. It's just, it's sad that it definitely showed where Apple's hard cutoff for like intuitiveness ends.
Yeah.
Like you can't just figure that out. So they definitely learned from that. So I'm curious to see, or I'm actually excited to see how it goes from here on. Like if they have a replacement feature or something else gimmicky to come out.
Yeah. That was a thing that I saw too. A lot of people saying that it was just a gimmick feature. I don't think that. I don't think that either. I think it was a nice try. I think it had a good purpose. It was just underutilized. And I don't think it was a gimmick feature. Anyway, we'll jump into Q&A. First, I want to tell you about our second sponsor of the day, sponsor Dose.
Dose.
And that sponsor is StopAd. Listen, with all the Facebook stuff happening right now, all the privacy scandals, all that stuff, it's easy to freak out and wonder if the internet is safe for you anymore. Are you safe online? That is a real question. And nowadays, we have apps that'll Help you block ads, apps to stop sites from collecting and selling your data, and apps to keep you safe from phishing sites. But what if, you know, there was a service that did all those things wrapped up into one convenient little app? And that app, that application, that program is StopAd. StopAd is the most reliable and uncompromising ad blocker I've ever used. I have it installed. I use it every day. It features an app for Windows, Mac OS, iOS, and Android. There's no more annoying, but more importantly, the more malicious ads. There's no more of those on news sites. There's no location tracking ads in social media, or the really creepy stuff, the awful stuff, sites that use your machine for cryptocurrency mining. They take control and utilize your machine resources for cryptocurrency mining. Not with that. Not with StopAd. You can browse freely, not worrying about sites stealing your info through phishing or scams. StopAd punches them right in the face with the fist of security. So go check out the links in the description or in the show notes to take back control of your online experience. And a huge thanks to StopAd for supporting our community. Q&A.
Wow. Q&A. That should be a bumper, really.
It should.
I like that.
Chat, people watching live, this is your chance. This is your half of the show. Feel free to ask us any questions, and we will answer them.
Strokes. Post-haste.
It's real. It's real. It's happening. We got some super chats.
Let's go ahead. Yeah, I'm gonna clear them out real quick. So we got one from Davis Wilker, $5. Thank you, sir. I replied to everybody who left a super chat in the chat to let them know that we appreciate it and we'll be acknowledging it when at the Q&A. He was mentioning. He was talking about, he left us with the T-Mobile Sprint merger discussion. And, okay, so he specified that both Sprint and T-Mobile use LTE with 4G, and T-Mobile has experienced CDMA before when they acquired Metro. I didn't know they bought Metro PCS. I didn't know that they were under that T-Mobile umbrella. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
A while ago, yeah.
Well, yeah, the store I worked at didn't sell Metro, so I wasn't sure.
Of course
not. That's really cool.
Yeah. Someone said, please prove this is live, please. I hope that's good enough proof.
That should do it. Yeah. another super chat from King Kid, $1.99. He said, in reference to the T-Mobile Sprint merger, he said, hopefully we get better signal and better deals and service. Yeah, that's the idea. That's what we'd like to get, but you never know, right? I mean, this might, they could just go down in fire, in a fiery blaze of shitty signal. So. And we just got another recently from the Drunk Canuck beer review.
The Drunk Canuck.
Shocker. $2.79 in Canadian. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Do you think iOS 12 will finally fix lingering bugs? I mean,
that's the plan, right?
It always is, right?
That's what they say.
I don't know. I mean, the rumors are saying
that that would be the best move Apple could make. The best move.
Because on the show, we hammer down that quality control is an issue. And the best way to, you know, get us to stop doing that is to fix the quality control issues, you know, with being bugs and issues. So I hope they do. But there's nothing saying they will, nothing saying they won't. So we'll have to see.
I would hope so. That's the best move for Apple at this point, is to refine iOS and to just to bring things back home. I think they threw a lot of shit at the wall. At this point, they should know what sticks, what doesn't stick. Let's bring it all home. Let's refine stuff. Please, Christ. Please, Tim Cook, Christ, help us. Help us all.
For reference, we have a bad stream status right now.
Oh, that's good. We'll have to. I'll have to tinker with settings, or maybe it's the connection I'm on too. Who knows? We'll try to fix it by next week.
$2 from Carlos. Is HTC still relevant? They're as relevant as like the second place finishers like LG and, you know, HTC's lumped in there.
I think
what else?
HTC, what was it, the U11?
Yeah.
What was it? They released like a few months ago a really good phone. Maybe just wasn't available in the US. It's so far from that. We've seen so many phones since then that I sort of forget. The sad thing is HTC as a manufacturer does not suck. They're actually pretty good.
No, no, no.
They are terrible at marketing. Terrible.
Right.
They are terrible letting anyone know that their phones exist.
Right.
The worst. It is. They usually make good phones.
Yeah, and they have in the past too. They're pretty respected. From Fausto Cervantes, did you ever get offered the Razer phone?
Nope. Never got offered the Razer phone. But
yeah, so
but it got to a point where, like, even if they did offer it, I mean, I would definitely take it. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm over it. My cares are, the excitement is over. Especially once the reviews started coming out and people started talking about, especially like camera or vibration on the phone specifically, just sucking a bunch of dick. I just was like, okay, whatever.
Question from your neighbors under your bed. In the future, what futuristic device that Apple might make might replace the iPhone? I mean,
what?
Something it had to go inside your body, right? Like, yeah. There's no way they're getting rid of the iPhone. It's too, like, recognizable. It sells too well. Yeah. It's going to have to be something that goes into your fucking hand and you just, like, lasers and, like, holograms and shit. And
yeah, like, the, hold it up. And the concepts that came out every year, like, back when leaks weren't that major, when we didn't see as many of them, and that left, like, that left open a space for people to make concepts and, like, rumors. Remember, there was a fucking kid in our school every year that we were friends with. Every goddamn year, that would be like, "Do you hear about the new iPhone? It's gonna be holographic. It's gonna project a keyboard onto anything, and it's gonna have a projector, and you can watch videos on the wall. It's gonna be this whole thing." Every fucking year, every fucking year, he believed the concepts.
Oh god. Thoughts on the iPhone SE 2 being released shortly? I'm excited.
Yeah, if it is a thing, if it's a real thing,
right. I think it's awesome, to be honest. Maybe it's nostalgia. Maybe it's just because I love the iPhone 4. But I like smaller phones. I like the smaller screen and stuff.
I mean, it's...
I don't know.
From the leak or whatever that we saw, it looks exactly like an iPhone 5. Same design. You know,
it looks awesome.
The original SE still, you know, had the 5 design. But, like, that's not a negative to me. And maybe it is nostalgia, but, like, it also is, that design is great. For a compact little phone, that design is amazing.
I agree, though. From $4.99 from Viper.
What up,
Viper?
One
of our recent recipients of Creator of Awesomeness. John, what will your next phone be? ?
I don't know.
You still liking yours? Your Sony?
Oh, yeah. I like it. I don't know. I don't have... Let's put it this way. There hasn't been a phone that has come out that has piqued my interest enough to where I would even, like, where the thought was even in my head of maybe I'll buy this.
Well, we're in an interesting position, though. You know, we're a little bit different than the normal consumers of the world.
Meaning that we don't care?
You could pester OnePlus enough to maybe get a phone sent. Or, you know what I mean?
I mean, you have a OnePlus 5T that was sent to you?
Yeah, that we got sent by GearBest.
Yeah.
So,
if we wanted, we can beg hard enough for phones. That's not a problem. It's just like, I don't know. I can't think of a phone that I'm like, yeah, I would like to have that. I'm definitely interested in if the SE2 is a thing, I'm interested in that. I'm interested in the next iPhone. I'm more hopeful than anything that Apple gets their shit together. Maybe I'm not excited for the phone. Maybe I'm just excited to see
for the company
come Apple season where they're headed.
Yeah,
I want to know where they're headed.
I think we're both fans of Apple the company. It's just,
that's what people
hard to
overlook.
Be when they keep making mistakes. Yeah,
that's what people overlook. Like, we're not critical because we hate them. We want them to shit their own britches. We want them to do well, and that's why we're critical. And also,
it's very it's very sad, you know.
Yeah,
them fail.
That's how I feel. I'm sad, Jeremy. I cry every night because
I
of
like
Apple.
This. I like this question because I think it touches on what we were just talking about. From Hobo Nickel BBQ, this Android guy here can't understand why Apple people don't understand or like widgets. Can you explain this to me like I am 6 with crayons? Well, Mr. and Mrs. Hobo, it's kind of hard to tell from your name. See, people like iPhones, generally speaking, like a large part of the people who buy them like simplicity. And like we just mentioned with touch, 3D touch. When you kind of spice things up a little too much, they get shaky and weird. So widgets are a little too out there. Personally, I fucking hate widgets. I think they're stupid. I don't use any widgets. I don't know what do you like widgets, Sean?
No. So
yeah.
Widgets are funny because that puts the control in your hands. That's like, you get to choose what widget you want included, and you get to place them places. But maybe you don't want to do that. I think that's why there is so much love for iOS and the simplicity of iOS. I mean, even I get that. Like, I think I said last week, when it comes to my Android phone, sometimes, like, when I recognize, oh, you have Android, you can do anything you want, I do think about, oh, I could customize this in any way. Maybe I'll do that. And I'll, like, sit down and I'll watch, like, apps to download or watch videos about apps to download or widgets to include. But then I see it and I'm like, I don't fucking care. I don't want to do this. Like, this is so much work. Yeah. I just want, it's my phone. I just want to pick it up and I want it to work every single time. I really don't care. And that's,
right.
That's the, I mean, there are sort of widgety things in the navigation bar, right? Or the notification.
Yeah.
Drop
down. Yeah, but it's minimal and it's very like it's Apple ecosystem restricted, which is fine.
Yeah. So if you want your stocks there.
Right. Yeah. There
good
you go.
News.
$5 from Mr. Struggle Russ.
Struggle Russ.
Says, just got here. I left Sprint after 11 years, hated them in the end, bought Razor Phone and just joined T-Mobile. Should I sweat the merger or nah? No, because all the news is reporting that John Ledger is retaining control, like he's keeping the big high chair.
Yeah.
So chances are there shouldn't be any shakeup happening with T-Mobile. If anything, it should be exciting. I feel like they're going to have a lot of new offerings for people to
and
either
you,
stay or switch.
You might have instantly better service.
True. Yeah, we'll have to see. But you should be cautiously optimistic, I feel like, honestly, as a T-Mobile or Sprint customer. Gaming with Donald Trump said, there is no way I am putting a smartphone in my hand in my body. Well, we'll just have to see, Mr. Trump. It might be really
Mr.
fucking
Trump.
Awesome. Yeah. Malico asking, what happened to FPT Labs? You said last week that you were checking the app this past week.
Yeah, Malo, I love you, man. We can't disclose all the secrets happening behind the thing, the scenes. Look, this is a curtain. All right, this is actually microfiber cloth that I use to clean my glasses on my phone. But this is a curtain tonight, and you can't see behind it. Okay, so no seeing behind the curtain.
Nice. That was a really good analogy. Very. No. I'm moving down. I'm getting them all. Don't worry.
I trust you.
I like this. I'm picking out a lot of good questions. Good mix of both. Don't want to, Barrage's World. What do
you
look
say
for
Barack
in a phone?
Obama.
No, Barrage's World. What do you look for in a phone?
Work. I look for the phone to work.
Yeah, just if it works well, honestly. That's like, whatever. That's all
that
matters.
To be reliable.
Like right now, it's fucking killing me. My OnePlus 5T still crashes if I enable Bluetooth. Not kidding. And I fucking hate it.
What? That's a real thing?
Yeah, thankfully, I don't need to use Bluetooth, but it just fucking dies. Like, I have to restart the phone.
I have an issue where, and this is like, this is partial, I mean, it's not all on me, but it's partially on me for not doing anything about it. So, like, Google Maps has this thing now where if you are using the navigation and you hit the home button or the back button, it minimizes the navigation to a picture-in-picture. So over whatever else you're looking at, navigation is there. But it crashes the phone every single time. Like, all the way.
Oh my
all
God.
The way crashes it. It goes, shrinks, and then just nothing works, and then it relaunches Android. Just totally dead.
Oh, wow.
Every time has never failed. And I could just turn it off. I could just make sure the picture-in-picture doesn't happen. I haven't even looked in the settings to make it stop. But like, yeah, that's a pain in my dick.
Right. That's a good one. From El Jefe Reviews, $5. Thank you, El Jefe. You're magnificent, sir. Question for both. Favorite sci-fi film or series? If we're talking traditional sci-fi, Star Wars, for sure.
Star Wars, for sure.
Firefly, below that, and then Star Trek below that for me. All Star Trek lumped in there. I like it all.
See, I'm not a fan of Star Trek. I haven't given it a chance, but like, I feel like I only have room in my soul for one, and that is Star Wars.
Star Trek, if we were to start watching it, The Next Generation with Patrick Stewart is
Patrick
fucking
Stewart.
Awesome. Like, you have a boner for like 90s, 80s, late 80s, 90s TV.
E. This is true.
You would dig the fuck out of The Next Generation because it has some really great storylines and the characters are great.
I almost totally forgot because I didn't mention it. I mentioned it in the pre-show, but not during the actual show. Hey, look, This is a hoodie that Eric, he's been in chat, Eric from Creator of the Week sent me. It says, I make content you can believe in. He just sent me this hoodie because he loves me. So I'll definitely link Creator of the Week down in the description below. It's sort of a, think of creative awesomeness like we do, but like a
better.
Yeah, a Twitter profile, a website dedicated to just that, to showcasing a creator, and you can nominate a creator every week, and then that their creator of the week. That's the thing. So I'll link it down in the description below.
Another $10 Canadian from Mr. Zach Talks Tech. Question for Jordan Byrne and the audience slash
community. That's us.
I'm ordering food. Should I get the Yucatan chicken tacos or the blackened swordfish tacos? I've never had swordfish.
Holy shit.
I'm going to go with chicken.
Swordfish tacos sounds badass, though.
So you can't go wrong,
that
really.
Sounds serious.
Yeah.
Fucking swordfish tacos?
I mean, I do you have to fight it? Like, fight them?
Brian, if you were texting me, right, and you're like, hey, Jeremy, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm eating swordfish tacos. Your first reaction would be, whoa.
You're right. That's I would be like, whoa, what the fuck? First of all, I'd be like, where did you get swordfish in the middle of Ohio?
You're right.
Like, but yeah. Zach is getting chicken. Everyone said chicken for him. So I'm happy that I was on the winning team, really.
Sorry, everyone. Going swordfish. See?
Oh, no.
Someone said you should make your own merch. We mentioned the pre-show. We're thinking about releasing a Fuckfield shirt, limited edition, like it was only available for like a few days. Any update on the crew? Sorry, I'm trying to. I see a sliver. Creative awesomeness.
I saw the question. We're reading the same question, so I'll just read it properly.
Go ahead.
From El Jefe, any update on the Creator of Awesomeness submission process? Do we have to resubmit?
No, you don't have to resubmit, but things got a little overwhelming on this end in terms of submissions, and I want to be able to find a more efficient way to where we can guarantee somebody's featured every week, because we're already busy, and then adding another thing that we're just sort of giving to the community. It's not hard, but it's hard when the process of getting the thing from you isn't very efficient. So I want to make it, I want to change the submission process, and I want to be able to open it up a couple different ways. I want you guys to be able to submit like you have been doing. So if you did submit, that still counts. If you want to resubmit, that's also fine. But no, you're not forced to resubmit. But I also want to be able to have, if you're in the community and you know of a small channel that you watch that's not getting enough attention, sort of like a nomination, I want you to be able to let us know. But also, I want to be able to open it up to where I can just pick one. So even if you didn't submit, I can just be like, because I am subscribed to creators that definitely aren't getting enough attention, that aren't big channels, that I would personally be, I would like to be able to just say, these guys are really good and you don't know about them, but now you do. That's what, I want to be able to do that, but I feel like if I do that now, that like sort of goes out of the submission process and I overstep my bounds, even though I made the thing. So I want to make it official to where I'm allowed to do. Malo said, what if the community votes, John? Here's the issue with that. Then everyone gets the exposure.
Yeah.
Like,
true.
Everyone gets to see all the creators and you guys just get to vote and only one of them gets submitted or gets to be featured. But by the end of that, a lot of you will have seen them in order to vote on them, so everyone still gets the exposure, and that's not necessarily what we want either. We want it to be like a secret till a Friday episode comes out and we announce the creator. Yeah, special little treat.
I think we probably have a pretty prepared answer for this, but another $2.79 from the Drunk Canuck beer review. Thank you, sir. What does Apple need to do to make you switch back? Quality control and...
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we're burnt out on Apple in general. Like, we just had enough of the same old iPhone. And even the iPhone 10, I don't think was enough of a difference. So make the shit good and make it slightly different and more interesting, I feel like.
I left iOS out of frustration. I say this every time. It's not that I like watched Android just get so much better and I switched to Android because it was like, whoa, that's crazy. I switched because I was angry at iOS. Angry enough to just be like, fuck you.
Right.
And I switched. It would just have to be less throw shit at the wall. Give me what you think I want. Make me want it. And make it work. And I will buy your phone.
This is not tech related at all, but I love it. It just reminded me of a good memory. Your neighbor's under your bed. Am I the only one who remotely knows a thing about K-pop here? It's funny because you and I went through a little bit of a K-pop phase.
Me?
With Psy. Do you remember?
Oh,
listening
yeah.
to all the Psy music. And just putting on K-pop radio on like Pandora and Spotify.
Psy's really good though.
Psy's fucking awesome. Yeah, so we love Psy, but I don't think we have enough exposure with other groups, really.
No, definitely not.
So, but I'm up to listen to it.
We got about 5 more minutes, ladies and gents. So if you're watching live and you want to include your question, you want to ask, you want to be in the show, you want to get your last super chat in, now is the time to do it. We'll hang out for like 5 more minutes for the recording, then we're going to stop the recording. And we'll maybe hang out for a smidge more for a post show. Again, if you want to hang out, you want to watch live, you want to be part of the pre-show and the post show, part that no one ever sees after we take this down live, it's easy. Saturday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can watch live on our YouTube channel. And, of course, the video version is on YouTube as well. So if you're listening and you want to see our stupid faces, YouTube is the place. And if you don't want to see our faces anymore, your favorite podcast client is the place. Those links are down in the description below to find the audio version on your favorite thingy.
Yeah.
Last questions.
Oh, hang on. Two. One from Tech God. What do you think of Nintendo? And we're gonna make this a little bit more of an expansive question, more than just that. What do we think of like what they're doing? Because they just released Nintendo Labo recently. Do you know anything about that, John?
No.
Essentially, it's physical buildable hardware made of cardboard and little intricate pieces that integrates with software on the Switch. And it's really, in my opinion, it's getting real mixed reviews, but I think it's really fucking awesome, honestly.
Why are there mixed reviews?
People are like, $60 for a bunch of fucking cardboard. But it's not just cardboard.
It's Nintendo cardboard.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I think Nintendo's awesome. I think they're still doing very Nintendo-y things, but somehow they're keeping it up to date with all the people who've been with Nintendo for years and years. Like, I don't feel like a little kid because I want to buy the new Mario game. You know what I mean? It feels like it's within my bounds as a 24-year-old person. You know what I mean? I don't feel like embarrassed about it.
It's funny because we reported about them a lot on the show, and things were looking real bleak for them, in terms of mm-hmm. their business literally just dying out. But I feel like the Nintendo Switch totally revitalized things. And Brian did a show called Hardwired, and the last episode was about a review of the Nintendo Switch, and I think we ended that review with saying, Nintendo's back or something along those lines.
Yeah. No, yeah, it felt really good. John, this is more of a question for you.
Okay.
$2 from Mr. Paul. Gross. Close. How?
$2 is the question.
Do I upload at 11 p.m. today or tomorrow?
11 p.m. today or 11 p.m. tomorrow?
Yeah.
Or does he mean 11 p.m. right now or sometime tomorrow?
I don't know. He didn't specify.
He's
asking if it's bad to go late. Okay, so he means 11 p.m. now or earlier tomorrow.
No, I don't think it's bad to go late. I mean, it depends on your audience and what you see personally, but late, what are you laughing about? What's so funny?
Oh, Bridget gave a peace sign as she walked through.
Malo, Bridget live moment. I think we upload late all the time. That's all we upload. The best uploads for us is our late uploads. They always do the best because it's like, what are people doing? What are you doing? Most of our demographic is not doing anything. Upload today. Upload at 11 p.m. today instead of 11 p.m. tomorrow because tomorrow is Sunday, and I feel like Sunday's just a slow day in general.
He doesn't mean 11 p.m. tomorrow. He means anytime tomorrow.
So, okay, because he said 11 p.m. today or tomorrow, so I thought he was clarifying that it was still
fucked up. No, I clarified. Jesus. Oh, my God. He meant late today or just whenever tomorrow.
I'd say it's worth trying. Have you ever uploaded late before? Because it doesn't sound like it. I'd upload late and just see how it goes. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? Nobody watches. If no one watches, then just fuck it, re-upload.
There you go.
Who cares? Just try it and see how it goes. You might really love it. We upload late all the time. Yeah. And it's the best for us.
Zach from Zach Talks Tech had a great point. There's literally nothing on YouTube after the show.
Yeah.
It's pretty much a dead zone. like until like early Monday.
We used to, we had a Minecraft series called Speed Build where it's exactly what it sounds like. Brian would give me an object to build, or I would give Brian an object to build, and we had 5 minutes to build it, and we'd have to hurry up and build it in Minecraft. It could be a person, an object, anything. And we uploaded those on Sundays specifically because we saw there was no YouTube content on Sundays, and we just wanted to put content up on Sundays.
Yeah, it turns out that still held true because that show didn't get any views. So,
but also, none of our shit got any views.
True.
At the time.
Yeah. Well,
I think we'll do one more, and then we'll end.
Oh, one more, leave. Guys. One more question. Fucking spam it out, like just whatever you want to know. First one we see from this point on.
Oh God, that's dangerous.
I'm keeping it's a dangerous game, Brian. Chat. I know.
Dangerous game.
It could be horrible. First question I see after Viper's last message here. So as soon as one comes in.
Oh God, it's all gonna explode because we're like 30 seconds.
Yeah,
behind.
I know. There's a little bit of a delay, so. I'm so excited for Avengers. Oh, my goodness.
You see that in like an hour?
Yeah, and my theater
sells...
Oh,
the last question is a major spoiler. Just kidding.
They serve beer now and wine. So,
oh, God.
God damn it.
Burns
there it is.
Fucked up.
From Muhammad Swag. Sorry, the A's confused me.
Swag.
He said, what's up? That's the first question.
Brian's going
Should we
to
do
see
another one.
Yeah, Brian's going to see Avengers, and I'm not. That's what's up.
You know what? Okay, this is a good one. Actually, from Viper, John, and I'm going to answer too because you can't stop me.
Okay,
who would we love to be sponsored by? That's a good one. Actually, that's a good one to end on.
Love to be sponsored by what is a company that would it would just fucking blow? Not only would it blow my mind just to work with them, but also I love them. Huh?
You know what? Some sort of like I think I'd be really happy to work for or like do work for Razer or like a really good PC builder. That would make me really excited.
I worked with Intel before for a little thing.
Right.
It'd be cool to have like a sponsor, not even like monetarily where they give you money, but a sponsor that just has resources to give. PC builder or a company like Intel that has their stuff in a bunch of products and could get us a bunch of products. That's how I have an Alienware 15.
If you are a PC builder, work at a PC builder, own a PC builder company, or anything like that, hit us up.
That's what I really want to focus on that because we've talked to so many companies that are going to build us a PC. They're going to fucking
do it.
It
keeps falling through.
And then
such
they don't.
A pain in the ass.
That's it. And like we never have this trouble with any other thing. Like any other product we want, we usually get it. But it's this in particular. It's just bad juju.
It is bad juju indeed.
So we want some PC builder to hop on and take our love and
that'd
affection.
Be awesome. Yeah, people are like, have Linus sponsor us. Have Linus call Apple to sponsor us. They're just hello Apple.
You remember me?
Yeah. I would actually love if it'd be hilarious if Linus sponsored us. But anyway.
Okay, that's it.
Okay.
Folks. We're done. Yeah, anything to wrap up? Review on iTunes. Do the thing. Check out our sponsors. Support them because it supports us. Love.
That's it.
Love each other.
If you're watching the live stream, be sure to hang out for a little bit afterwards for the post show. But everyone else, we will see you.
Brian, give them something to. If you're watching this late in, what should people watching this after the fact comment if they watch till the end?
John still sounds like Kermit the Frog.
On that note, we will see you all next week. Have a good time.